Please welcome Kirk Henning.
Let me throw something in here, and then we'll bring up Henny to finish off tonight. My own excursions into the wilderness, I was a late bloomer, which I wear the late bloomer. I'm a late bloomer in a lot of things in my life. I wear that mantle proudly. I figure that just being a late bloomer strings my life along because I'm always looking around for what's around the other side. So I just kind of naively stumble into things through my entire life. I was always attracted to excursions in the wilderness since early on. For example, when I was a kid, we'd go over to my grandma's house. My grandma lived to 102. And at this particular time, she was married to her fifth husband. And we go over to her house, and she construct a large canvas army tent in her backyard with a fire pit in front of it. And my sister and I would go over there and visit them, and they'd build a big bonfire in the fire pit. And we'd roast marshmallows and wieners and tell stories until late at the night. And then they had cots inside with sleeping bags, and they'd tuck us in the cots and the sleeping bags. And that was our version of wilderness at that time. It was in the middle of Canoga Park and the San Fernando Valley. But to us, we might as well have been out in the middle of nowhere. Also at at that time, when I was a child, my stepsister and her boyfriend took us to a drive-in movie in his 57 Chevy Bel Air. And we watched a couple movies. It was a double billing. And one of them, I remember both of them. One of them is vivid in my mind. It was called The Other Side of the Mountain. And it was adapted from a real popular book at that time about a boy who goes out into the wilderness himself and learns survival skills. And he was probably 11 or 12 or something like that. And I was always attracted. That always stuck in my head. The other movie starred Tony Randall as the head of a family that lived in an underwater house. And maybe that's why I became a marine biologist, I don't know. And then later on, when I got into high school, I had a friend who always told me about he and his dad and his brothers, his mom had died, taking backpacking trips together and their dog. It was the cool dog of the neighborhood. Growing up, my dad, if I can encapsulate, he wasn't a wilderness type. I can probably encapsulate his type by just saying cocktail parties. He was from the Sinatra era, music, drinking, dancing. He took me fishing a couple times, maybe. I don't remember ever really camping. Maybe once or twice we camped, but just not the wilderness type. So I didn't have a model from my dad, but it was always attractive to me. When I graduated from high school, got into college, and I started getting into hiking, and even long hikes. But was still attracted to long excursions into the wilderness, because when you go on hikes, just a regular hike, you time yourself, so you're going to go to a certain point, and then you're going to turn back around. And I wanted to go to that certain point and then just keep on going sometimes, so that there was no other option other than to spend a lot of time in the wilderness, deep into the wilderness. So I got married and I had children, and that dream just kept on sticking in my mind. I kept on talking about it. Our family, we would go on hikes together, and I would keep on talking about it. Ever since our girls were small, we just went on hikes and hikes, and finally they just got sick of it. They got tired of me talking about it. So on one birthday, they gave me a backpack. And so since I had my first backpack, it was time to schedule my first deep excursion into the wilderness. Now, I needed a buddy to go with, my youngest daughter, she was the one that's the most gamest. She's the one that is more willing to walk on the wild side than anybody else in our family. And so we put it on the calendar, and if you put things on the calendar, you have to do it. And we decided that we would choose for our first backpacking excursion, the Golden Crown of California, Yosemite. And now when I go into things like this, I research them and plan them, and I get not so much just to make a more pleasurable trip. It's more satisfying the analytical side of myself so that I can always be right. And so I had everything planned out, and I picked the trail and planned the trail out. The trail I decided on was actually started high in the top of Yosemite Valley, and then you go down, and then you come back up the next day. And we had it all planned out. We figured out what we wanted to do to plan our backpacks. And I figured I really researched planning what you take for what you need to pack in your backpack. And I swore to myself that I would take just the right amount of stuff. But when anybody, I don't care how much of a genius you are, your first backpacking trip, you're always going to take way too much, which we did. I rented some gear for Kelsey, a big tent for us to both sleep in. It was really I don't know how much it weighed, but it was way too much, and I made her carry it. And then, but she didn't complain. She never complained. She was fine with it. And so we had our food, our gear packed. I checked the weather, and this was in October. We decided to go, so it was going to be beautiful in Yosemite. I mean, just beautiful weather. The following day, they were predicting maybe a 20% chance of some snow flurries-ish, but we figured, 20%. So we started on our first day, and we descended down. There was some up and down, and it was just beautiful. We felt things were a little heavy, but it was just a gorgeous day in Yosemite. We got up to a certain peak, and we noticed all these people that had poles, and I hadn't seen them before, and we didn't have the poles, and we were carrying like 80 pounds each and swaying back and forth like this. And we got up there and said, poles, those are genius. And since that time, I never go anywhere really without my hiking poles, because what they do is they kind of center your weight as you're going on a trail. So if you go a little bit this way, then it kind of centers your weight, and go a bit that way. And I really like that, because it follows my main philosophy of life altogether, which is when you go bowling in bowling alleys, and in some alleys they have bumpers set up for kids, and the little kids, they throw the ball down and it kind of goes off one bumper, and then it gently goes back to the center, and then it goes drifts over and then hits that bumper and gently goes back into the center until it gets to the pins. That's my philosophy of life. We just kind of gently go bump off to one place and then gently go back to the center and then bump off to the other place. And so that's what I think those poles do too. And when I'm using my poles backpacking, I feel like I'm kind of centering myself. And we found our campsite, arrived at our campsite. Yosemite was beautiful, and the descent down, Half Dome was there, El Capitan. It was just looking at the valley. We found our campsite, we cooked our food. It was just, and we sat and talked and told stories and ate. And then we just got too tired. We just had to, it was just an exhausting day for us. And so we went to sleep, and in the middle of the night, we start hearing on top of the tent. And I woke up and I said, Kelsey, I think it's snowing. And she said, really? And we looked out, and yes, it was, snow was just pouring down. And it was cold, really cold. But we liked it. We thought, oh, this is great, because we're going to be able to see Yosemite in all its beauty and all its splendor during the autumn, and then we're going to be able to see it in the winter, all within the span of 2 days. And when we woke up, it was just Yosemite in the wintertime with all that snow. It's just gorgeous. But we had to get out of there. So we weren't too worried, because where we were at, we could see the trail fine. We didn't have snow. We weren't prepared for the snow, so we were kind of cold, and Kelsey put on a trash bag, I think, as a poncho, and it snowed all the way up, and but we were still able to follow the trail until we got near the end, and we lost the trail. And it was just not blizzard conditions, but it was snowing pretty good. Visibility was really low. Couldn't really see anything. Couldn't find the trail. I started to get a little bit worried, but then I remembered, this is where the survival skills part comes in of the other side of the mountain. You just don't worry about it. Just keep calm. Work the problem, as they say. Kelsey, you go over that way, look over that way. Kelsey, you go over, I'll go over this way, look over this way. We looked for about 15 or 20 minutes. There was a little fear in my head because I thought, if we don't find the trail, well, we know we need to go straight up, but who knows where we're going to end up after that. I didn't want to hear my wife after I told her that I lost our daughter. We finally found the trail and left and just had a great time. Now this is the moral of the story. I discovered after that trip and all trips since then that when I go backpacking with my friends or my daughters, my family, and you just see that the awesomeness in front that just displays itself in front of you, you're so humbled. I feel so humbled by that beauty, that incredible beauty. But I also feel really small. And when I'm with my daughters or my friends or my family, that's when I know for sure that we're in this together. And that's when I feel so close to them. And that's really the beauty of, for me, a part of the beauty for the wilderness excursions that I've had. So anyway, that's my story there. Yeah.